Well, God bless you, and I'd like to thank you for taking your time to listen to this CD. My name is Pastor Rich Lynn from Grace Bible Church on 269 Quorum Avenue in Shelton, Connecticut. I want to give you a gift that God offered me 25 years ago. I want to offer the same gift to you. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." The Bible has many different scriptures in it that we will talk about today. This CD will be approximately about 30 minutes long, so please take your time and listen to it. There's some things that God wants to speak to you that I believe God put on my heart to give to you as a gift. God's gift to mankind was his Son, Jesus Christ, who came and hung on a cross and died for our sins. Every man and woman, according to the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means we missed the mark. That's what it means to fall short. God's mark is perfection. But thank God that he sent his Son, who is the perfect man, to stand in our place. God also goes on to say in Romans chapter 3, "What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." Imagine God saying that there's none good, none righteous. But there is one that can stand in your place and in my place. His name is Jesus, and he stood in your place and died for your sins and my sins. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible tells us that Jesus went about doing good. Here's what it says. "You know what had happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. How he went around doing good, healing all who were under the power or oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on the tree." That's the religious Jews did that. Not all of the Jews, only the religious Jews. "They killed him by hanging him on the tree or on the cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. By us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Isn't that good news? You receive forgiveness from God because of what Christ did on the cross. That's some good news. He came to set people free that have been bound by drugs, alcohol, oppression, depression. Have you ever been depressed? Well, Jesus came to set you free from that. The Bible tells us in the book, back in the book of John, that there's an answer for the problem of our soul. All of us are sinners, and we need a Savior. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus replied and declared, "I tell you a truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And then Nicodemus, a religious leader, a teacher, a Pharisee, a smart man, "How can a man be born again when he's old? Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered and said to him, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and spirit. Flesh and blood, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. So we must be born again. That means to be born from God's spirit. When we are born from God's spirit, then and only then can we become children of God. It doesn't matter what church you go to, what denomination, unless you're born again or born from above or born anew, whatever term you want to use, unless you know God personally, you will not see the kingdom of God. You will not stand before God and enter his kingdom. Neither will I, unless I'm born from above. In the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, it says that we were alienated and separated from the promises of God, which were given to the Israelites. We were without hope in this world and without God. But whosoever was once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when we receive Jesus into our heart and into our life, God says, you've been washed in the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, who is the blood. That blood was shed for your sin and my sin. That's some good news. I don't have to stand before God and make up excuses. There's nothing I could do to earn God's forgiveness, God's grace. Not at all. God tells us in the same chapter of Ephesians 2, which is very important that we understand this. It says, for by grace we have been saved through faith, and this not from ourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved by whom or who we believe in. I want to make a difference here. Many religion, and religion is man-made, every single religion has a bunch of rules and regulations or do's and don'ts. Don't do this or you're going to get this. But having a relationship with God does not depend on what we do. It depends on what Jesus did and how we respond to what he did. Jesus hung on the cross, died for our sins, and when we receive him into our heart and into our lives, we are saved, born again, born anew. We become children of the living God. I'm going to prove that to you very briefly, that God says a couple other things that we have to understand. There's a penalty for our sins. And according to Romans chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Here's the point. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's gift to us is eternal life, and it only comes through Jesus Christ when we make him Lord of our lives. Not only Savior, but he must be Lord. That means we give up our will to God's will. I don't know if you know this or not, but God has a plan for you. It's a good plan. It's a plan to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. I don't know about you, but I have this hope in me that one day I will see God face to face. I'll see Jesus. And I'll be able to live in his presence forever and ever. That's what eternal life is. To be able to live in God's presence. To have the life of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, and the rest of God. Do you know what it is to rest? Many of us don't. We run to and fro, ragged. Our lives are weary. And we do so many different things. Maybe we're soccer moms. Maybe we're out at every baseball game, every football game our kids are doing. We're trying to give our kids so many activities. Maybe we're just stay-at-home people. And all our kids do is just play on the video games. There's no rest. There's arguments. There's all kinds of things going on. Frustrations. Never enough money at the end of the month. Has that ever seemed to happen to you? It's happened to me many times. Running out of money. Running out of peace. See, everything outside of us will not bring us lasting peace. Only Jesus can give us peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He's not only the Prince of Peace, he's the King of Peace. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, we need to hear this and understand that God says in verse 27 and 28, just as a man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Are you waiting for him? Are you looking for him? He's coming soon. You may not think he is. The Bible tells us that let God be true and every man a liar. And every one of us have lied a time or two in our life. Maybe a small little white lie. Maybe we fibbed a little. Maybe we stretched the truth or exaggerated. But every man has lied, but God has told the truth. He's been speaking it for 2,000 years. And some people think, well, he's never coming back because he's gone for 2,000 years. God is not slow to bring forth his promises. But God is patient. He's, in other words, he's waiting for you to make your decision. Yes or no. Very simple. There's a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but the end of it leads to death. There's God's way, and then there's your way. God's way leads to life. Your way and my way always leads to death. You don't think so? You don't think that we're selfish? Look at a two-year-old. We're born with a sin nature. As soon as they're able to walk and talk and you tell them to do something, some of the first things in rebellion that comes out of their mouth is, no! We are rebellious at heart, rebellious in nature. We don't want people telling us what to do. We don't want God to tell us what to do. How do I know? Well, back to John 3:16. We need to continue on what John was talking about there. In the book of John, chapter 3:16, and following verses, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now listen to what verse 17 says. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Have you ever been told that God's going to get you? Oh, there is coming a judgment day one day when God will judge every word that you've ever spoken, every deed you've ever done. But if you would receive Christ Jesus now into your life, you will pass from judgment. You will not be judged for your sin. You'll be judged for your works. And there's a big difference. We won't go into too much of that right now. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil, and everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that his or her deeds will be exposed. In other words, we don't want anybody to find out what we do in secret. You ever got something going on in your own house? Look, at, I know you may not want me to meddle here, but God's meddling all the time. He sees exactly what you're doing. He can see behind your closed bedroom door at night when your lights are out, when you're watching those things on TV that you should not be watching. God sees those things that are done when you're flirting with your secretary or when you're messing around with somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. God sees when you lie and cheat on your taxes. Oh, it's more than just sex. It's more than just, it's those little things like taking that pen home from work. Believe me, I know. I've been under conviction many times for things like that. But God is not out to whack us. He's out to bring correction so that we can live a life that comes to fullness. I don't think you know that or not. I didn't know it before Christ, that God wanted more for my life than I really wanted. I just wanted to get free from drugs and alcohol, but I got so much more. I came to know Jesus 25 years ago. And he saved me, delivered me, and healed me of many different things. Am I perfect? No. Will I ever be perfect? Not on this earth. Do I still sin and miss the mark? Yes. But I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who lives forever and sits at the right hand of God the Father to intercede for me or stand in the gap. When the devil comes to accuse me before God, and accuse you before God, we have Jesus Christ who sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he intercedes or stands as your judge advocate or a lawyer for you before Almighty God. That's some good news. There's some good news that's been spoken here today. Sometimes we need somebody to stand in the gap for us, stand on our behalf. So Jesus offers us something else in the book of John. John chapter 10. Excuse me. In the book of John chapter 10, this is the Gospel of John. Verse 10, he says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." Jesus speaking here, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired hand and cares nothing for his sheep." See, this is not God. This is people. God cares for his sheep. Verse 14 of John 10, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know my Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." You know that Jesus, people say the Jews killed him. People say the Romans killed him, but I'm here to beg to differ. You killed him. I killed him. Our sin put him on the cross, and in reality, God the Father killed his Son so that you, ma'am, you, sir, could have eternal life. You can have a relationship with Almighty God. You know, the Jews asked this question, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, just tell us plainly. In 25, verse 25 of chapter 10, Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The reason that you have not come to Christ is because you're not His. It takes God's Holy Spirit, who is here on the earth, who comes to the earth to bring conviction, to convince you that you need a Savior. You may think you got it all going on, and there's nothing wrong with your life. Everything's perfect. You got a perfect wife, perfect home, perfect job. But how many know that if the economy collapses again, your job could be gone in a moment? How many know that your wife or kids may get hooked up on drugs? Your wife may leave you. Your husband may leave you. And then what? There goes your perfect life. Then what do you do? What do you do when one of your children goes astray and overdoses on drugs? What do you do when your family's falling apart? Who are you going to turn to? The psychiatrist? The psychologist? Who are you going to turn to? Dr. Phil? I'm sure he's a good man. I'm sure there's many good psychologists. I've taken psychology. It's a good deal. But guess what? It only helps a little bit. You need somebody that has been touched with the feelings of your infirmities, who knows your weaknesses. Well, God doesn't know what I'm going through, but I beg to differ. Jesus came to this earth so he could understand what you go through. Do you know that Jesus came to this earth and his own people rejected him? Ever been rejected? He's been rejected. Ever been mocked, made fun of? Matter of fact, he's been spit on, beaten, wounded, bruised, all for your sake. His own people thought his own parents, his own mother and brothers and sisters came and thought he was a lunatic. Jesus is either a lunatic, liar, or he's the risen Lord. And I'm here to tell you he's the risen Lord. He says who he is, and he means what he says. One more scripture in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1, tells us, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God only through Jesus. I'm not talking about the peace of God. I'm going to explain something and share some more in the book of Romans to explain this a little better. Verse 6 says this, you see, at just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. This is how God demonstrated his love. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? It's a lot of words, huh? In other words, basically, you're an enemy of God if you don't know Jesus Christ. But even though you're an enemy, Christ died for you. And he wants to bring you, Jesus wants to bring you to his Father. But it's up to you to choose. He's not going to force you. I'm not here to twist your arm. I'm just here to give you some information to help you along your journey in life. Life's a journey. We go from step to step to step. We go from childhood to teenagehood to young adulthood to what? In our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and even beyond. Each season of life brings us different things in our life. You know that. You've had children. Maybe your children are all grown up. You're at the in your golden years, the 70s. God still loves you. God wants to know you. God does know you, but you need to know him. And he's offering a way for you. He's so good. He provides us salvation. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen." You can't see God, but you got to believe by faith that he's real, because he is. Just because I don't see something doesn't mean that it's true. Just because I don't believe something does not mean that it's true. Well, God's not real. God's dead. There's no such thing as God. I beg to differ. God's real. He's more real than you and I. God took something out of nothing and created it. He took you and knew you while you were in your mother's womb, according to Psalm 139. And he knit you together with sinew and synapse. He put flesh upon bone. And you were produced in your mother's womb as a child that came from an egg and a sperm coming together. It wasn't some primordial ooze. It wasn't we came from monkeys. It wasn't that we came from whatever the scientist may say. But we came from God. And he desires us to go back to him, to have a relationship with him. You don't have to jump through hula hoops. You don't have to jump over hurdles. All you have to do, maybe you ask that question, what must I do to be saved? And here's the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Simple. Believe on what he did on the cross, that he hung on a cross, the perfect God and perfect man, hung on a cross and died for your sins. Every lie, every foul-languaged word, every thought that's been contrary, he hung on a cross and shed his blood willingly for you. And when you receive him, his blood washes all your sin away and cast it as far from the east to the west into a sea that's called the Sea of Forgetfulness to be remembered no more. That's powerful and it's good news. I don't like when people remind me. I have sisters and brothers always remind me what I did when I was a kid. You know, that was 40 years ago. Over 40 years ago, my sister still tells me, "Wow, you were mean. You did this and you did." You know what? Get over it. Get over yourself. 40 years ago, what can I do about 40 years ago? The only thing I could do is what I do today. One thing I do, I forget what was behind me and I look forward to what's in front of me. And what's in front of me? God. Eternity, joy unspeakable, full of glory, peace that surpasses all comprehension and understanding, that it will rule and reign in my heart and in my mind. That's good news. That's what God offers. We said it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. It's not of your own self or your own works. I'm going to read a scripture out of Romans, and I'm almost done with this message for you. But in Romans chapter 1, God tells us in verse 16, and he makes this statement, and the Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman church. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then the Gentile. Who's a Gentile? Whoever's not a Jew. See, God wants both the Jew and the Gentile. For in the gospel, righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous shall live or will live by faith. We must live by faith, not by sight. You know, the Christian life, in any part of life, the thing is, we always want to look at what's in front of us. And then we get tripped up. We see, oh, the problem, and we magnify the problem so much more than it really is. We make mountains out of molehills. Now, I'm not negating and denying the fact that there's problems. There's always going to be trouble. There's always going to be tribulation. There's always going to be problems here on this earth while we're in this body on the earth. Grow up and get older and start feeling the pains in your bodies that you didn't have when you were 20. Things start going wrong, like your eyesight, losing hear, teeth falling out. It's part of life. Pain and hurt and tragedy, death, is all part of life. But you don't have to go through it alone. Jesus is with you. If you will let him be, if you will invite him into your life. Now listen to what God says. Wrath against mankind. There is coming a day when God will reveal his wrath. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So when you stand before God, you'll be without excuse, because the heavens declare the glory of God. Look at nature. I'll give you a prime example. God was showing us through nature death, burial, and resurrection. Every winter, fall, winter, every plant life outside dies. The leaves fall from the trees. Flowers fade away. But come spring, come early spring, things begin to bud and life begins to blossom once again. The death, burial, and resurrection. Even the leaves and the flowers fall apart and decay and rot and get buried into the earth and become more soil and nutrients for the soil. But in the spring, God resurrects them once again. He was teaching you about Jesus Christ through that plant life. He's true. His way is true. So we're without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of an immortal God for the images made to look like mortal man. Excuse me. Birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. So, check it out. You don't want to serve God? Okay. He'll let you do what you want to do. They'll let you have your own way. But guess what? When you harden your heart, God will harden it even more. That's a mean God, ain't it? I thought you said God was love. No, you decided to harden your heart. In other words, when God hardens your heart, basically he's stepping out of the way for you, no longer protecting you. How many know that you've heard, I know you've heard that there's been guardian angels watching over you? And we do. We have our angels guarding us throughout our whole lives. Well, if he's such a good God, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do people die before their time? One answer, simple, sin. Either your sin or somebody else's sin. When somebody's killed by a drunk driver, it's because somebody else was doing something they shouldn't have been doing. And that innocent person was in the way, in the wrong place, at the wrong time. Not God's fault. God probably was speaking to that person, take a right instead of a left. God was saying, go another way. God was knocking on our hearts. God's always knocking. He's trying to get our attention. You'll even see God in the weather. You'll see God on the billboards. You'll see God in many different places warning you. He's trying to rescue you, but we reject him all the time. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 says, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. God does not show favoritism. It happens to the Jew first and then the Gentile. All who sin apart from the law will perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by that same law. If you want to live and try to do good, there's a law. But if you want to live right by God, just trust him. God's called you to be holy. He didn't say do holy. He said be holy because he's holy. He didn't say do a bunch of rules and regulations. Do you ever try to do something right and you end up doing it wrong? Do you ever try to be good and you just can't seem to be good? I used to always try, well, I'm going to quit drinking today. And I go for 2 or 3 days and all of a sudden, boom, back to drinking again. I go 2 or 3 days without doing drugs, but then all of a sudden, boom, back to the drugs. I didn't want to do them, but I end up doing them. I didn't want to be bad, mom. I tried to be good, but it's something in me. I just can't be good. Even though mom would spank me and dad would spank me and correct me, I still had an issue of being bad. That was part of my nature. But now in Christ, I don't want to be bad. I want to do good. And the more I focus on Jesus, the easier it is to just be good. I don't have to do good. I just am good by what Jesus has done. It's all about him. It's not about what we do. I want to bring this to a close. Still in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you're not condemned. Verse 5, those who live according to their sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires, but those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Now that's a lot of stuff there. But if you're in Christ, God will give you life to your mortal body to live a godly life. And finally, in the book of Hebrews, the only thing that will please God, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Will you earnestly seek him today? Will you earnestly seek him? And I'll close in the last scriptures in John chapter 14. This is what Jesus said. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms or mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. See, he's going off to heaven to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So he's coming back to take you with him. Are you ready? Are you ready? You know the way to the place where I'm going. But here's somebody that everybody knows, Doubting Thomas, says this: Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Here's what Jesus said: I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said it plain and simple. I'm the way to God. I'm the truth about God. And I'm the one that gives life to your mortal body. Ooh, that's some good stuff. God wants to give you life. What kind of life? Eternal life. Life that is full to the fullest. It's filled to the fullest. You know that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask, think, dream, imagine, or even dare to believe. He wants to give you exceedingly abundantly beyond all that. God wants more for you than you want for you. And in Revelation chapter 3 is where I'll finish. But preacher, you said you were done already. Well, here's what God says. Jesus says this: Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. I'm standing at the door of your heart. I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to not only the churches, but to you. Got ears to hear? If not, maybe you need to ask God. God, give me ears to hear and a heart to receive what this message was about today. Thank you, Lord. If you thank him, God will answer your prayers. God bless you. My name is Pastor Rich Lynn from Grace Bible Church, 269 Coram Avenue, right across from Town Hall. And we just want to bless you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Amen.